Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, Happy New Year to you from Chris Brown and Ramsey Solutions. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we are coming right alongside you and cheering you on wherever you are in your financial journey. We're talking all about stewardship. And of course, that doesn't just mean finances. That means all areas of our life. Let's go back to the definition. It means managing this life or managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. That's what we're talking about. And so glad that you are joining in. God is a God of new beginnings. This is 2016. And today's new beginnings. And, you know, we serve a God. He's just concerned about new beginnings. He believes in new beginnings. The scriptures show us that. 2 Corinthians tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. 2016 is here. And if you have, you know, got some 2015 baggage, remember, not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, the Bible tells us. And now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Folks, we peek at the past to learn, but we praise in the present and we focus on the future. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Is your hope in him today? I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're listening, but is your hope in him? Or is your hope in something earthly, some kind of earthly security? No, our hope needs to be in him. He's doing a new thing, but Ephesians tells us to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, all of us, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So take hope in the fact that we serve and we serve a God and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. This is what the Bible tells us. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. How cool is that? And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then, of course, John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Folks, that is Old Testament, New Testament, all over. We serve a God with new beginnings, all about new beginnings. He takes our transgressions, our sins, and removes them as far as the east is from the west. So we want to give you a ton of hope. And as you think about new beginnings this year, you're thinking about your relationships, you're thinking about, you know, maybe your workplace. I don't know what you're thinking about, but when it comes to your financial legacy this year, we want you to check out, of course, Financial Peace University in your area. We've got classes all over the country, and we want this to be a winning year for you when it comes to your finances. So more information on that throughout the show. And folks, we want to hear from you. So give us a call at 357-3283. And to start the show off today, we get to speak with another awesome Financial Peace University coordinator who is on the front lines of everything we're talking about on this microphone, but is, you know, sitting across from everyday people like you and I all the time and leading folks through Financial Peace University. So let's chat with Alan. He's calling in from Ventura, California. Alan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris.
Oh, good, good. So you are one of our rock star coordinators.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you just need to receive that because you really, really are. So how many years have you been leading Financial Peace?
Well, we got involved in Financial Peace in the fall of 2011, and then we took the course, and then we took it to our church and began facilitating classes there. And this last December 8th, we just finished our 13th class.
Oh, that is so cool. So you've seen a lot of folks experience a lot of good financial victory. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we've had over 300 people that have gone through the class and graduated. And our first class was one of the more exciting ones. We had 75 people in that class.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was really fun to lead that many people all at once.
Yeah, how did you get thrown into that? How did you get started?
Well, as I said, we took the class ourselves, and then we brought that information to our church and met with the senior pastor and said we'd like to bring this to the church. And, of course, we didn't have to twist his arm very hard. And so they promoted it within the church. And we generally have 1,000 to 1,200 or so in regular attendance. So we had almost 10% of the church taking the course all at one time. It was fabulous.
That is great. Now, you've led some classes, obviously. Tell folks what kind of qualifications they need. Is it pretty easy to lead, or is it pretty complicated and you need to have some experience?
Well, actually, all you need to have is a willingness to get up in front of a few people and introduce a video and guidelines that are presented in the FPU coordinator material. It's just kind of if you can read, you can lead. You know, it's very simple.
That is good. I love that. Nice Twitter there. If you can read, you can lead. So you just really got to care about people and kind of care about stewardship. And is it okay if you know if you're on this financial journey yourself? Let's say you got $20,000 or $30,000 in debt. Can you lead a class still?
Absolutely. We started out. We had $62,000 in debt. We paid that off in 22 months, and 10 of those months I didn't have an income because I'm in business for myself and there wasn't money there.
Yeah.
But my wife has a regular job and we just buckled down and we sold a bunch of stuff. Like Dave says, we sold so much stuff that the kids thought they were next.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we did that, and it's actually, I think, good to be going through some of the same struggles that the people in the class are going through as they're trying to pay off debt, because you can definitely relate to them and have that connection.
Yeah, it really creates a lot of camaraderie. You'd said 22 months, and it reminded me that the average person pays off their debt in 18 to 24 months through Financial Peace University, but the average person pays off their debt in the real world. When I say real world, I just mean kind of just using the world's philosophies on paying off debt in 6 to 16 years. So that bondage is kind of weighing over them for 6 to 16 years, but in Financial Peace University, it's only 18 to 24 months, and you are 22 months, so you're right in that stat, so that's pretty cool. Now, what's one way that you've been able to minister to others? You know, like what's a specific way where God's really used you through this?
One of the things that's most exciting for my wife and I, because our real heart, our true heart, is for couples and marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been really blessed. Not only does the communication in our own marriage increase, we've been married for 41 years, but it's really exciting for us to see young people that have the time in front of them that we no longer have. To be able to apply these principles and create a firm foundation that once they get their selves established and start to build some wealth, and they're able to give to others. And we've seen just about every, or at least many scenarios of people getting out of debt and being able to give generously or selling their house and paying off debt and just all sorts of circumstances have happened. The people that take hold of this as Dave says, if you do what they say, you will win. You will succeed.
Yeah, Alan, we've got a lot of folks calling in and emailing in and asking how can they get involved in coordinating, and you've really helped us today answer some of those major questions that people are asking. They just feel unqualified, and it's like, no. You don't have to have everything. You know, it's like you hear your pastor always say, you don't have to be perfectly cleaned up to come here. The hospital's for the sick. And, that's very similar with this class. So you've really been on the front lines. You've been getting after it. You're a hero. God's using you in a powerful way. And we really appreciate you, this partnership. You know, we've got the microphone covered, and we've got the kneecap to kneecap, eyeball to eyeball covered. And we're trying to get everything in between with resources and books. However we can help folks, we're trying to provide all that. And you are a huge piece of that. So thank you so much for your service and loving people, and also for calling in today.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chris, and good luck to you.
All right. Thank you, Alan. All right, folks. Well, next on the line from Boise, Idaho, we have Scott. Scott, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I had a question. My wife and I, we were just introduced to the Total Money Makeover beginning of November, and so we're just getting started. We just finished baby step one, and we're about 20% of the way into baby step two because I sold my car.
Good job.
Which is great. Yeah, it was my dream car, so it was a big step. But
you've never heard me or Dave say sell the car before, have you?
Oh, like 1,000 times.
Oh, dear. So cool. Okay, I cut you off. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. The wife and I were reading the book, and we got to the part about saving up for college, and we're big planners. We like to look at the future.
Yeah.
And the wife looked at me like, oh, cool. Well, we only have to pay for Cecilia, our daughter's college. And that's when it hit us that our son won't be able to attend. He's got special needs, and to say that he is only capable of living in the present gives him a little more credit than his disabilities allow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're wondering, what do we do for him? You know, because that was the moment when it really hit us that we had to accept that our two-year-old isn't going to be able to have what we want for him to have. So is this something where we look at, like, long-term care insurance earlier than 60? Because I know that's, quote-unquote, the magic age to get that stuff. But it's something that he will likely need. When you say living for the now, Dave always mentions, and you also, but he always mentions that you always look for what feels good. Well, he doesn't even do that much.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard for us to figure out, well, what do we do for our son to have him have a fulfilling life when we're gone, but without saddling our daughter with that responsibility so much so that she can't live her life when she's older, because, I mean, she's only 7 months old, so it's way down the road, but it's a fear that I have, and so does the wife.
Yeah. What does your son have?
Well, he was born very, very early. He was originally a twin, but he has cerebral palsy. He's blind, and we think that those were both due to a stroke that he had in utero, and that is, so far as we can tell, damaged his mental capacity. He only reacts to things. Like if you clap him, it startles him, he cries. If you tickle him, he laughs.
Mm.
That's the extent of interaction that he's capable of providing.
Wow, that's a lot to go through.
Well, we've learned a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I know it's tough, Scott. When you're thinking about this, I think you could possibly overcomplicate the financial side. You think about all children, there's two major ways we can take care of their future. One is through wealth building, which would be primarily investing. And the other one's through insurance. So you've got wealth building, and I'm just going to create these two buckets in your mind. So, when we get off the phone, it's still clear to you. So you've got wealth building, which you're probably already doing something there. And then you've got...
We're paying off our debts.
Okay, gotcha. So not yet. So then you get into... And then you also have term life insurance. You've got just... So that's for any children at all. You've got these two buckets. You're going to try to build wealth. And like Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You want to do that. And then, the life insurance, you just want to... We always recommend 10 to 12 times your annual income. If you were to pass away, that your dependents would be taken care of.
And we have that as well.
Okay, so that's really the quick answer is it's going to be still in those two buckets. So it's still we're going to keep it simple. The thing that I want you to look into is a special needs trust, and that would be the only thing that's unique. And the only thing that's really unique about it is that it's not qualified by 18 years old. It continues. This trust continues with guardianship and with someone supervising this trust, through the rest of his life. But that's really the only difference. So I would recommend you continue to build towards wealth building and to build towards the life insurance. If you want to up it from 10 to 12 times and do more, that's fine. But the special needs trust, it's good for the entire life of your child. You kind of buy a life insurance policy with the beneficiary being that specific trust upon both of your deaths. And it's a very similar strategy, just a little more specific when it comes to that. And you know, you just want to make sure that you assure that there's a good decision-making guardian in place, you know, throughout his entire life. And you want to make sure you do that by getting a state-specific will. So make sure, you know, the will is very clear on guardianship for sure.
Gotcha.
Of course, you're familiar probably with our ELPs, which are our endorsed local providers, and they can help you with all this at stewardship.com. So, yeah, it's really that. It's really, I don't want to overcomplicate it, but it really is that simple. It's, you're going to look, you make sure that you've got good term life insurance. You want to make sure that you are getting to the investing part of your financial journey as fast as possible. And you want to look into the special needs trust.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. A follow-up question on the special needs trust. Is that something that you would pair with like a mutual fund or a Roth IRA or something like that?
Yeah, you want to work that into your financial journey at the investment stage.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but the term life insurance, you want to make sure that you institute that as soon as possible.
Cool. Well, we've got that in place, so okay. I guess that puts me a little bit more at ease.
Good. Yeah, that's really about it. There's nothing more than that.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Scott. All right, folks. Well, those are some of the things that we, you know, there's some things that are really, really fun to talk about in Financial Peace University, and there's some things that are a little bit more difficult. And the reality is, you know, these kind of scenarios are in our world, and Scott seems to be a trooper going through this with class. And, you know, I love it when folks like that stay strong and they give God the glory through their journey. They're looking for ways where they can overcome the obstacles. So really inspiring. And you heard me earlier talk to one of our amazing coordinators about Financial Peace University. And if you're tired of struggling with money, 2015 wasn't that great to you, and you're getting to the end of your month, you know, each month with more bills than money, I get it. I've totally been there before, and it's time to take action. It's 2016. It's a new year. And your new direction, trajectory can start today. You can take control of your money with a plan that will change the way that you handle your money. Again, remember, it's not even your money. It's God's money, and we get to manage it. So Financial Peace University is that plan. You just heard some amazing ways it has changed lives. And if you're interested, you can sign up today at Financial Peace for Financial Peace University at stewardship.com. And some of you may need to pray about coordinating a class in your church or community. And even if you've never taken the class before, you can still lead, because it really is that easy. It is plug and play. And join us in our mission to reclaim stewardship in America. And it changes lives, restores marriages. You know, we've seen addictions overcome, people accepting Christ, your family's coming. It's incredible. You want to join the mission. Go to stewardship.com, find out more information, or call us at 866-357-3283.
If you'd like to ask Chris a question, email him at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next on the line, calling in from Indiana, this is Donna. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Chris.
I saw here that you're from Washington, Indiana. That kind of threw me off. I'm assuming that's a suburb of another big city.
It is. We are south of Indianapolis.
It gives me an idea. I've got you pictured in my mind on the map.
All right.
How can I help you?
My husband and I, we are getting ready to buy a home on contract from some relatives of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the stipulations for the contract was that we, one, complete the Dave Ramsey course, which we're getting ready to do that.
Uh-huh.
And another one is we have a Camaro that we recently purchased 2 years ago, and they're wanting us to sell that. Now, our question is, they're wanting us to take a loss on it of around $4,000 to $5,000 to actually sell that. Is that good advice when we have a couple of other loans that are higher interest than this vehicle, or we're just not real sure if it's the right thing to do?
Right.
Taking that loss.
Okay, so there's lots of things to unpack here. I think I can assume that they've got a good heart in this. They want you to go to Financial Peace University.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sensing a really good heart towards, they want to make sure that you have some good foundational knowledge when it comes to handling your finances. And they know the not so brilliant nature of a depreciating asset that you're paying payments on. So those are two great things. However, I don't like you paying off the or trading in the Camaro or doing whatever, dumping the Camaro and doing these kind of things because they said so. I want you to do them because you want to do them. The Bible says, Proverbs 22:7, that the borrower is slave to the lender. And what's happening is you're about to get into a contract with somebody who's pretty much already owning you before that you even, like, there's already these strings attached to your life where you've got to do things to be able to suffice a third party. So I just don't like the whole thing. So I would, number one, I would really recommend you rethinking this contract on the house. That right there is almost that's a bigger mistake than all of them combined. 98 or 99 out of 100 scenarios in this kind of a scenario, it'll come back and bite you. Just be really careful with that. It'll be like 2 years down the road. Everything will be great. There'll be a honeymoon period, and then something's going to bite you. I definitely recommend you going through Financial Peace University. And based on what you've told me, I agree that you should dump the Camaro, even if you're going to lose some money, because you're going to win in the long run.
Okay.
So they've got a great heart, and they're probably trying to help you, and they're probably giving you a better interest rate, or they're doing something for you that's better than a bank. I understand all that.
Right.
I just really don't like the risk and the relational intermingling of the half banker, half family. It is typically a disaster. So that would be my biggest encouragement, is to run away from that situation and thank them for trying to help you. And I wouldn't buy a house until you can put 20% down on a 15-year fixed loan. And that payment that you're going to pay with taxes and insurance and principal is less than 25% of your household income. When you're there, okay, and you're completely out of consumer debt, then you're ready to rock and roll, but not with family.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, they got an email here from Shawnee. Shawnee says, hey, Chris, my husband and I have $185,000 in debt. Our take-home pay is about $56,000 a year. We have two cars. One is a 98 Honda with 260,000 miles, and the other is a 2004 Hyundai with 140,000 miles on it. Should we be concerned with saving to move up in car, or should we just continue to throw all of our extra cash at the debt? I really enjoy your show. Thanks for all you do. So you're obviously paying off debt. Baby step two is what we call that in Financial Peace University. So what you would do in baby step one, before you even get to baby step two in paying off debt, is you would save $1,000. And that's exactly what that $1,000 is for. One of them's going to go south. It'll probably be the Hyundai, but nothing against Hyundai. Don't get mad at me. But when the Hyundai goes down, you'll have that $1,000 to at least get you, something from point A to point B, and then you can build back up that $1,000. But if you're asking me, should you save cash before you pay off your debt, the answer is no. You should finish baby step two before you get to baby step three. And you're very right. Before you pay off $185,000 in debt, you probably will indeed have one of these go south. And what you'll do is you'll replace it with a $1,000 car. If you were to stop your baby step two now and save up for a car, and then you'll have to do it again on the Honda a year later or 2 years later and try to replace it with a $5,000-$7,000 car or something like that, or maybe even a $4,000 car, you're never going to get your debt paid off. It's going to take some sacrifice. You're going to have to drive that $300 clunker to get out of this. So debt first, then save cash. But good question, Shawnee. Well, folks, as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you want to attend or lead a Financial Peace University class where you learn all that stuff that I just explained to Shawnee in her email, head over to stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. And while you're at stewardship.com, be sure to sign up for our bi-weekly newsletter. It offers help, offers tips, articles, all sorts of fun, inspiring, and instructional stuff there. We want you to get 2016 started off the right way. Hope you have a great first weekend of 2016. Remember that myself and our team at Ramsey Solutions, we are praying for you. This will be your best year yet. God bless you.